Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in third and final hour here on Tuesday morning, and the sun is out. It's still a little chilly out there today, but it's not going to get as warm as it's been, but it's all right. Spring is on its way. I guess what, later on today, we get the equinox? So, it's here. It's spring. I nervously put away the shovel, but I still kept the little one in my trunk, just in case. In fact, I keep it back there all the time. Because you never know. We still could encounter that quicksand that we thought we were going to have to deal with when we were kids. Remember, we were taught to be afraid of quicksand. So anyway, yeah. So if you didn't get to see the video yet, check it out. The New Bedford Guide has it posted. There was an altercation last night in the appointments and briefings meeting of the New Bedford City Council in which... And thanks to Craig for calling in and giving us a little bit more of the specifics. Gilly Safiolos was coming back from the bathroom and he was walking in the area between the counselors and the chair and the podium there. And counselor at large, Linda Morad, stood up and tried to block him from going through and kind of, you know, they did that whole like match for match pantomime where like one person moves and the other one moves and then she reaches out and puts her hand on his arm and he yells, "You just assaulted me." And according to New Bedford Guide, now she is going to be summoned to the police station on charges of assaulting Gilly in the meeting. So, you know, in a way it's ridiculous because when you watch it, she didn't assault him. She didn't do anything. She just put his hand on his arm. But by the same token, if he had been the one to have done that to her, he would have been escorted out of the council chambers and maybe even in handcuffs. So you can see that clip on the New Bedford Guide page, but also you can see the full meeting on the city's website. And thanks to Craig for sending over the rules of the council meeting, which does not mention anything about, you know, where to walk. Perhaps the council needs to amend that. But also, I started reading the message from Jess and Akushnet, and I didn't get to finish, so I'm going to start over here. Listening over the past couple of years regarding the New Bedford official meetings and always having issues, it's like a group of little kids, and it's come to a point now physically putting hands on one another. Changes need to be made, especially to be comfortable enough to pull these antics in front of the New Bedford police chief. That's right, police chief Oliveira was right there at the podium, 2 feet away from where this was happening. It's ridiculous already. Yes, we all get annoyed with people, but I know I can't physically push someone at Dollar Tree who's being rude as much as I'd like to at times. They're all adults and need to start acting like it. And she says, FYI, I personally do not know any of them, so I'm not taking sides. And she says, have a beautiful day, everyone. So, I mean, that's what it has devolved into. This personal problem between Gilly Safiolos and Linda Morad, because that's what it is. That's what the basis of it is. All of these other discussions about, you know, what's fair and what should be happening, it all comes as an offshoot from that. And it has reached the point now where it disrupted the middle of a meeting. So there were people from Ward 1 who were there concerned about speeding in their ward, a number of residents who came to speak. And the police chief was at the podium speaking about these issues. And this very important discussion gets interrupted by these antics. You know, it's one thing if the antics are happening before or after a meeting, if it's happening out in the hallway, if it's happening out on the street after a meeting, it's still a little much, but at least it's not interrupting the business of city government. But in this particular case, it did. The meeting stopped and went into recess. Now, it was only for 2 or 3 minutes. I think it was about 2 minutes based on the video counter. But that's still an interruption in a meeting that ended up going along anyway. As I mentioned earlier, City Solicitor Eric Jakes was one of the final people to speak. And he commented on, you know, I've got to catch a plane at 4 a.m. tomorrow morning. And it's, you know, after 9 p.m. and he's waiting to have his chance to speak with the council at their request to talk about these, the need to start new hires at a higher step. Important city business. Which, by the way, I think, you know, some of the language that I heard coming from the councilors was interesting regarding that topic because, you know, as you know, Shane Burgo, Linda Morad, and others, Leo Chiquette, these folks are pushing for no residency requirement. And in an exchange with CFO Bob Ekstrom, Councilor Morad was saying, you know, we want you to go back to your boss, being the mayor, and say, you know, he's got to do away with the residency requirement altogether for us to consider this. And Bob Ekstrom said that both he and City Solicitor Jakes had expressed those sentiments to the mayor. So they've made it known that it's you know, that they feel that the council is not going to act on this unless they get rid of the residency requirement overall. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes because they have to make a decision on that quickly. But anyway, getting back to the Gilly and Linda Morad situation, you know, New Bedford Guide reporting she is now going to be summoned to the police station to face potential charges for this. Gilly had mentioned, I guess, from what I was told by somebody in the meeting, that he pointed to the counselors and said, "You're all witnesses." I didn't see that on the clip. And I don't know that I heard that in the video, but maybe I did. I don't know. It was late and I was getting ready for bed. The video wasn't posted till after 11. So if that's true, that means that they're coming. They have to take time off of their day jobs to go back to court again, to go back in front of a magistrate, to have another discussion about what's going on in the city council chambers. And it's, you know, probably not going to go anywhere. Nothing's going to happen because it wasn't an assault. Gilly was not harmed in any way. But again, like I said, if the roles had been reversed, the same, you know, the outcome would have been probably worse. He probably would have been taken out in handcuffs. So more wasted time, more wasted energy, more disruption and distraction over what amounts to a personal problem. And I think you, the citizens of New Bedford, those of you listening who live in the city, who are waiting for things to get done, need to be more vocal about this. Be vocal about it, not only to Councilor Morad and to the other members of the council. Be vocal about it to Gilly. If you go to a meeting and you see him doing it, you know, you can speak up to him too. Now, he has the right to hold the sign in the council chamber, so, you know, you can't stop him from doing that. But you could maybe encourage him to be the bigger person in these altercations, just like you can encourage Councilor Morad to be the bigger person. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Beautiful day, huh?
Yeah.
Anyways, number one, I think that an assault is even verbal. If you threaten verbally, I think it's an assault.
Sure, but there has to be some harm. I don't think just putting your hand on somebody's arm is a threat.
Try to put it on a police officer's arm and see what happens.
Well, that's different. A police officer is a different category of citizen.
Well, it's all the same, really.
I don't think that if you see the video, you know, I don't think anybody's going to look at that and say, you know, there was intent to do harm. It doesn't mean that there shouldn't be, you know, that Gilly doesn't have the right to have this heard. I'm just saying I don't think they'll look at it and say that this went to the extent of, you know, trying to do harm.
I'd like that. Catherine didn't call in and comment on it.
I have not heard from her yet, no.
Anyways, I don't go down there because I wanted to at one point, but to me, I don't know. I think it's like a circus, so I've never been in there, but I wanted to go down, but I said, I'll just stay away.
Well, I would recommend going to a meeting sometime just to kind of see how it all plays out. You know, not every meeting has issues like this. Some of them many of them go through with no problems, but it'd be worth it to just go down there and see the process in person.
Well, I wanted to go for a reason. You know, I have things that I wanted to bring up and talk about.
Well, you can't do that.
You got to just sit there and listen to what they have to say.
Yeah, there's the only citizen participation happens during the appointments and briefings meeting, and it has to be arranged with the clerk ahead of time and go on the agenda what you're going to speak about.
What, the city clerk?
Mm-hmm. The clerk of the council, yep. So if you wanted to speak, you have to let them know, and then they tell you, you know, when to come in and do it. And as Craig was saying earlier, you know, that means you could be waiting 40 days to have your opportunity to speak, and the issue you wanted to speak about could already have been decided by the council. So that's the only mechanism they have for citizen input right now.
Do a lot of people go to it?
They usually have a few people that are there to speak. Last night, I think they had 3 people scheduled. It's only a 30-minute segment. It's only the first 30 minutes of the meeting.
I thought they were going to switch that up. Anyway, it was on the VSM that they were going to change the setup of it.
Well, there's certainly a lot of people that want to see a change, but nothing's been changed yet.
I'm talking about, like, how it's set up when you go in there. They said that it's kind of backwards.
Oh, the physical setup? They moved some chairs around and put in a big TV, but there's still some issues about you know, seating and whether or not they're ever going to open the balcony for anything. It was closed last night when they had a large crowd. So I don't know. I mean, I understand people that say it seems like it's designed to limit the amount of citizens that can be in the chamber.
What building is that in again?
In City Hall.
Oh, right in City Hall. We're way upstairs.
Yeah. So you second floor and to the right, if I'm describing it correctly. I guess the east side of the building. I might be wrong. My directions aren't perfect.
Tim, not to change the subject, but getting back to the stuff like at Savers,
mm-hmm.
I have some, you know, in City Hall, now that you're talking about, do you ever look in the glass they have there with all the little things they have inside there?
Yeah.
I have some similar things exactly like it from my grandmother.
Some things that you've collected and held on to over the years?
Yeah. I don't know what to do about that, though, where you can go to sell it.
I don't know. What type of things are they?
Well, that one of them is exactly what's in the glass vase. Then I had the little glass. You remember from the glass museum, the little round dishes? I call them dishes, but they're not. It's got the year and a whale and, you know, all different things from New Bedford.
I'm not familiar, but I would suggest bringing them to an antique dealer and see what they say. You know, there's
which one?
I would look up somebody that's an appraiser. You know, there's people who that's their job is they appraise it. Now, you know, they're going to charge you a little something for doing it, but there's people who will tell you, you know, the accurate value, and they can give you the best advice as to where to bring them and who can be the right people to facilitate those. Because not every antiques dealer deals in those same types of things, you know?
Yeah, that's a little tough too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all, and a lot of it's very subjective because a lot of the antiques dealers around here, you know, they're just stocking what they know people will be looking for. And so you might have something that, you know, is worth money, but they might say, I can't turn that over, so I'm not interested in buying it.
I'd like to go to that Antiques Roadshow, really, but...
Yeah, well, something like that. They come around the Boston area quite a bit.
And Providence, right?
Yeah, so usually they'll go to the cities and, you know, they can knock out a couple weeks' worth of filming in one day. So I would keep an eye on that.
You have to look that up online or something to find out where they're going to be?
I think so. I think they make announcements at the end of the show, too.
You have to get in line for that, too, I think, and you don't have, I think you can get turned away, can't you?
Possibly. I got to hold you there because I have our doctor calling in on the VIP line, but thank you for the call.
Thanks, Tim.
Have a good day. And let's get right into it with our guest this morning. Of course, Your Health Matters is a partnership that WBSM has with South Coast Health, where we talk about things that actually do impact your health. And joining us today, we have Dr. Matthew Ball. So we're going to be talking about shoulder injuries and shoulder repair. Let's bring him on the line. Good morning, doctor. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Tim.
And thanks for joining us. So you are an orthopedic surgeon. That's your role?
That's correct. Yep. I work over at South Coast and a combination of patient visits in the office, seeing patients with musculoskeletal problems and then surgical treatment for those problems.
And so, you know, when you're seeing people who have these issues, I think a lot of folks think that we have this technology that's kind of advanced us from having problems as we evolve as a species. You know, some of the issues that we might have had in the past, we're not out working all the time and doing this physical labor. That should solve us a lot of these problems. But I'm sure you're still seeing a lot of physical problems that people have.
Yeah, I think the technology for how to help manage those problems has probably gotten better and better. But the reality is that we're all still aging and the body parts that we do have are going to wear out, and they just have a tendency to wear out over time with use and particularly in shoulders, things like lifting and heavy physical work. And then there's also, you know, traumas, people who particularly thinking about it over the winter, people who fall and land on their shoulder and fracture their shoulder or tear their rotator cuff or something like that, falling and slipping on ice. That's kind of the things that I commonly see.
And with shoulder injuries, there was a time when that was kind of a chronic thing that people just had to live with, that if they had shoulder pain, there wasn't a lot that could be done. It was more therapeutic than it was being able to solve it. But there's been advances in technology that have changed all that.
I think we've had advances in attempts to repair the native tissues that may be damaged. And I think we've also had some pretty significant advancements in terms of shoulder replacement in patients who really have more severe arthritis situations or more severe loss of the muscle around their shoulder.
So what are some of the more common things that are leading to these shoulder injuries and to need people to have these replacements?
Well, in my practice, I think the most common thing that I see is probably rotator cuff damage, which can range all the way from more just irritation and inflammation and tendonitis in the rotator cuff, all the way up to a tear in the rotator cuff that can be fixed, and even beyond that to tears that are so large and so far involved that they can't be fixed any longer. And that's probably the most common thing that I deal with. And I think that primarily that comes from a combination of use and abuse. So I typically see it in patients who are either weightlifters or, you know, heavy physical laborers or people who are using their arms overhead quite a bit. And then the other part of it that certainly takes effect is age. I generally don't see a lot of problems in 20 and 30 year olds. We start to see it kick in 40, 50 year olds. And the vast majority of the patients I see are probably even into their 60s and 70s, where that rotator cuff tendon just starts to wear out and degenerate over time and over multiple uses over the years. And it becomes a more chronic problem for them.
And being a chronic problem, do you find that people are reluctant to address shoulder pain when it's early and when it could be, you know, caught early and treated early? And instead, it just seems like one of those things that people try to just get through and they say, oh, you know, it'll go away in a couple of days, and they won't be as concerned about it early on as they should be. And when you could actually help them a lot sooner.
I think there's a group of patients who probably put treatment off too long. And in part, I certainly can understand where they're coming from, because the reality is that the commitment to fixing or repairing a shoulder is not necessarily a quick, short-term solution. It does take oftentimes some commitment to being in a sling for a period of time after the operation to try and protect and allow whatever we've repaired to heal. And then it really probably even more important than the surgery itself, the rehab that goes along with rehabbing a shoulder after surgery can be pretty extensive, and it can take time. And so it is a time commitment, and depending on your work situation, depending on your home situation, you know, it certainly can interfere with the things that you have to do on an everyday basis.
And with that in mind, is it, you know, I'm sure not everybody is a candidate for shoulder replacement surgery, but the ones who are, you know, what is the process of starting that? How do you figure out whether it's best to, if they need a full replacement, if they need a partial replacement? How do you go about making some of these determinations?
I think that the workup probably begins by seeing an orthopedic surgeon. And I think through a combination of probably initial x-rays and an examination and taking a thorough history to try to find out what the historical situation is with the shoulder. Even just from that small amount of workup, we can usually get a pretty good idea of what we suspect is going on and how extensive the damage is going to be. And then, you know, we can have a conversation about what the patient's goals and the reality of whether they want to consider surgery or not. And then oftentimes, and if we need more detailed information, the next steps would be to move towards an MRI or sometimes even getting a CAT scan of the shoulder to get further information about the details of the anatomy, what's still working, what's not working, what's degenerated, what hasn't degenerated. And that gives us a better idea on whether or not, you know, more conservative, maybe even arthroscopic surgery to just go in and repair the native tissues may be effective for someone. Or if we have significant damage to the rotator cuff or significant damage to the joint surfaces, what type of replacement would be most appropriate for that patient?
And obviously the recovery is going to depend on the severity of the injury and of the surgery that's needed. But, I mean, what's kind of a ballpark idea of when people can expect to be recovered from a shoulder operation?
I think that can range all the way from, you know, somebody who comes in who just needs what I'm going to label as sort of cleanup work, removal of some bone spurs, removal of bursa, and maybe a little bit of cleanup of some wear and tear in the rotator cuff. They may be in a sling for as little as a couple of weeks, and they may be back to pretty normal activities by 3 to 4 months. Someone who needs, you know, has a full tear in their rotator cuff and is going to need to have that repaired, is generally going to be in a sling for 6 to 8 weeks, depending on the size of the tear, to try and protect that repair. And then they're going to need probably close to 6 months of rehab and recovery before they're back to full activities like sports or heavy physical labor. And then with a shoulder replacement, in some ways it depends on the replacement itself, but with most shoulder replacements, you will spend, you know, a fair amount of time in a sling, generally, again, about 6 to 8 weeks. And I think the full recovery oftentimes will take approximately 6 months.
And when we're talking about recovery, can these procedures, whether it be, you know, repairing a shoulder or replacing a shoulder, can these be curative for the pain, or is this just, you know, helping to mitigate some of that?
I think some of that depends on the degree of damage. I think a rotator cuff repair, particularly in someone who's come relatively early and has a relatively small rotator cuff tear, can be completely curative, and that patient can go back to full normal activities with the shoulder, should be able to regain full range of motion in the shoulder, full function. And so even if they're going to go back to something like heavy physical labor or, you know, some forms of weightlifting, they should be able to return those activities without any significant restrictions at all. Whereas, you know, with somebody with a shoulder replacement, particularly what we call a reverse shoulder replacement, I think the expectation is to get great improvement in function, great improvement in pain. But the reality is that a metal and plastic ball and socket joint doesn't function completely like the shoulder that you were born with and that you lived your first 40 years with. So there are some restrictions that may maintain with somebody who's had a shoulder replacement.
Well, if somebody is going through some of these shoulder issues now and they want to try to get the process rolling of finding out what can be done to repair or to replace it, what's the best way for them to go about that?
Oh, South Coast Hospitals has orthopedic call center where you can call in basically with any of your any orthopedic problems, and you can schedule an appointment with the appropriate specialist. So their call center is designed to sort of figure out, okay, if we've got a foot and ankle problem, well, we've got a foot and ankle specialist over here. If we've got a hip or knee problem and you know, significant arthritis, we have total joint replacement specialists for that. If we've got a shoulder replacement specialist, or if we've got a patient who needs shoulder surgery, we've got a couple of surgeons who really specialize in nothing but shoulder work. And so that's sort of the entry point for most patients into our system. And then once they've gone to see a specific physician in the group, a more detailed plan can be made for how to move forward.
All right. Well, Dr. Baltz, I want to thank you for joining us and for informing us about this. And of course, this is part of our partnership with South Coast Health, because your health does matter. And thank you for your time this morning.
Pleasure. Thanks a lot, Tim. Take care.
All right. Thank you. That is Dr. Matthew Baltz, again, orthopedic surgeon at South Coast Health. And reach out to them if you are looking for, you know, some pain relief or some help with your shoulder or any orthopedic issues. Right now, though, I've got to go to the newsroom. Phil is waiting for me. So we'll be back right after Phil gives us all the headlines of the...
Americans ask for help in Haiti. A major milestone for chemical safety in the United States. And prices going up on a popular vehicle.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Nearly 1,000 Americans have reached out to the State Department for help in Haiti, where gang violence has plunged the nation into chaos. A State Department spokesperson says people have been filling out crisis intake forms online as the U.S. tries to get them out on chartered flights. Former President Trump's lawyers say he's unable to secure the $464 million fraud judgment against him in New York. Trump needs to post bond by next week, or New York Attorney General Letitia James can start collecting during the appeals process. According to legal documents filed yesterday, his legal team is asking the appeals court to step in, adding finding a bond is, quote, practically impossible. The Environmental Protection Agency is banning the last form of asbestos used in the United States. The government agency called it a, quote, major milestone for chemical safety by banning the ongoing use, which has been linked to multiple types of cancer. It applies to a type of asbestos used in car parts. The Minnesota Court of Appeals is siding with a woman who was denied emergency contraception by a pharmacist in 2019. The court ruled Monday that the pharmacist's denial of the morning-after pill amounted to a gender discrimination. The pharmacist who refused to fill the prescription had argued that the morning-after pill violates his religious beliefs. Some U.S. Capitol police officers will wear body cams for the next 6 months. The agency has begun a pilot program that will have 70 officers wearing body cams for the next 180 days. A task force will review the results of the pilot program to see if it should be implemented permanently. And prices on Tesla's best-selling vehicles are going up again. The company's website says the Model Y SUV, Tesla's most popular model, will cost about $1,000 more as of April 1st in the U.S. It's the latest of several pricing adjustments this year.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
The Boston Celtics beat the Detroit Pistons 119-94 last night. They play the Milwaukee Bucks at home on Wednesday. But first, the Boston Bruins are home to play the Ottawa Senators. That game at TD Garden scheduled for 7. Red Sox and Tampa Bay Rays at spring training this afternoon, just after 1 o'clock.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Tuesday morning. We're starting off the day with dry conditions, mostly clear skies. And so will be the case as we head into the afternoon hour. Temperature is barely topping out in the mid-40s with breezy conditions. Not as windy as yesterday. Overnight, mostly clear, cloudy, upper 30s as we head into Wednesday, mostly sunny skies. Temperatures rebounding nicely to near 50 with a southwesterly breeze up to 20 miles per hour. From the ABC 6 weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Watching.
right, welcome back in. 508-996-0500, or you can use App Chat or Open Line Voicemail on the WBSM app. Timing's a little bit off this morning. The doctor called a little bit earlier than I had on my schedule, but we're making it all work. Mr. M in New Bedford says, Tim, I had both of my hips replaced by South Coast. I was back to work within 4 months. I've been doing construction for 5 years with no problems. So yeah, orthopedic surgery has changed so much from where it might have been 20 or 30 years ago, when a lot of times, you know, people didn't get that surgery until they were older because there was just going to be physical limitations after it. Now they can give you something that's almost as good as the original and will last you the remainder of your life. So I get it. Nobody wants to live through life in constant pain and agony. And if they can help you with that, absolutely. Getting back into the topic of what happened with Linda Morad and Gilly Safiolas at last night's appointments and briefings meeting. Salty Dog and Mattapoisa says they are both bullies in their own right. Morad more because she also bullies Ian. I wouldn't want to sit around her family Thanksgiving dinner. That would be brutal. Well, I can tell you, I mean, some of her family members, I've seen them, you know, come to her defense when there are people making these accusations against her. I think that the public persona of a city councilor isn't always who they are as a person. So just, you know, keep that in mind. Sometimes they are the person that they need to be, or who they feel they need to be to do the work of the city. So, you know, what you see happen in council chambers might not be reflective of who they are as a person. But I do think she was wrong to put her hand on him. Again, it was probably just something that happened kind of in the moment, and she wasn't thinking of the consequences, but you're just giving fuel to the fire. You're now giving him the opportunity to yell out as he did, "You just assaulted me." But to be fair, if Gilly had put his hand on Linda Morad's arm, it would have played out a lot differently. He might have been taken out of the council chambers in handcuffs. So it's just, it's a situation that has just devolved too much. And it's a personal issue that needs to be settled, because now it's getting in the way of actually conducting business. The meeting had to go into recess last night because of this incident, because this happened in the middle of a meeting. Not before, not after, not out in the street, not out in the hallway. It happened in the middle of a meeting as the chief of police was addressing the council. As people were there, taking time out of their night from Ward 1 to speak on this speeding issue. Some of those people might never have been involved in city government at all, and this is what they see as the example of how it functions, and they wonder why they have questions about how things work. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You are next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Sometimes I think that before the city council meeting, they need to stand in front of a giant mirror, take a 1 minute look, and then go in and start to just to calm down and stop acting up.
But, maybe do some of those Stuart Smalley affirmations, you know, I'm good enough. Exactly. I'm smart enough. And doggone it, people like me.
Yeah. And look in the mirror, because that's what people see. The reason why I was calling is it was a good segment with the doctor. And I just wanted to point out that sometimes I think going to see an orthopedic doctor, if you think there's an issue, is better than not, because I had last April, I broke 7 ribs, T1 and T2 and my clavicle, and no surgery, because they looked at what I was, you know, looked at how I was set up and where things were. And then they gave me a brace for my arm, and basically 2 months later, everything healed. So it's not foregone that it's going to be surgery. And I think I saw 7 doctors at South Coast. And so sometimes you go in and they actually have different therapies. So it's not instantly a surgery if someone's concerned about that. And they do run everything by you. It's not like they're that's their focus of surgery. So anyway, different types of therapies, I guess I'm trying to say.
Yeah, great information. And so now all this time later, how's everything doing?
Well, it's kind of funny. really well. I was back out mountain biking in 2 months, and I was back out riding motorcycles in the woods in 3 months. That was with the seven ribs and the shoulder. The shoulder has no pain based on the way they did the shoulder. They had my shoulder pressed against the side of me, so it kind of healed. And I think the big trick with ribs, if someone's got rib problems, is get a lift chair, because your ribs will take twice as long to heal if you have to get in and out of bed because you're twisting your torso and you re-break your ribs every morning. Oof. So I got a lift chair, and I just stayed in a vertical position, getting up and down and laying flat to sleep. And after 2 months, everything healed pretty quick. So, and I'm 63. I'm not a young heel. So,
well, I'm glad that it did work out. And thank you so much for sharing the information.
Yeah, you betcha.
All right. Okay. Have a good day. I got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. Back in 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, how's it going, Tim? Carlos Felix.
Hey, Carlos. I apologize for accidentally hanging up on you yesterday when I was trying to fix the phone.
No, that was actually totally my fault. So
okay.
you guys are discussing the situation at the meeting last night, I assume, correct?
Yes, yeah. And I assume it's your video that's on the New Bedford Guide page.
Yes, I captured that video, and obviously I was there, so I can kind of fill in the blanks, I guess. So what had happened is Ian Abreu asked that people not cross through the front of the council. But Gilly Safiolis was not in the room. He had left to go to the bathroom. So he did not hear the chair's wishes for people not to cross to the front. So when he came back in, he was totally unaware that the chair asked or instructed people not to do that. So, you know, ever since I've been going there for 20 years, when you come in, a lot of times people will go through the front because when it's full, it's very difficult to get past the people and the counselors, so it's a little bit easier to go by the front. But now, for whatever reason, they don't want it to happen. But that took place, and Linda Morad decided to get up from her chair and physically stop Gilly from moving forward, and she actually physically put her hands on him and prevented him from moving freely. So that's what took place. And it is an assault. Now, not an assault where he was hurt or anything, mm-hmm. But I don't think that anyone should be putting their hands on anyone, first of all. And the reason why is, could you imagine if someone reacted in the wrong way, and did something inappropriate after being assaulted like that. So I think people really need to keep their hands to themselves.
Well, and certainly the situation, if the situation was reversed and Gilly had put his hand on Counselor Morad, he probably would have been let out in cuffs.
That's right. And just, there was a meeting the day before, and, sometimes I try to wait around to ask questions of counselors when they leave. Sometimes the counselors don't want to answer questions, so it is what it is. But anyway, I try. And I noticed the day before, I think it was, a couple of nights before, there was a meeting, and Linda Morad goes out of her way to go inches from Gilly Safiolis. So obviously, in my opinion, she's trying to provoke the man to do something inappropriate. And thank God that he's been, obviously not done anything like that. But it's getting to the point where she's pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. She's using every little advantage to try and stop these situations, to try and put them in this situation. But I do believe the officer did tell me that she's going to be summoned for a simple assault. So, I guess we'll have to see when that happens and go from there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for calling in and for providing some insight.
No problem. Thank you.
Have a good day. I do have to take one final... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hang up on you there. I do have to take one final break. We'll be back in a few moments.
100.
All right. That's going to do it for me. I'm just about out of time. Chris McCarthy has you coming up next with South Coast Now, and he will continue on this discussion with you if you want to react to what happened in that meeting. But if you haven't seen the clip. Again, you probably don't want to sit and watch the whole meeting before you call in to discuss it, but you can on the city's website. But if you want to see just the clip of what happened, New Bedford Guide does have it up on their Facebook page, video shot by Carlos Felix in the meeting last night. And Carlos, thanks to him and to Craig for calling in and giving a recap of what happened on the scene. But you can call into Chris and react to it. I also will ask, just head on over to WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Check out that story I have that actually gets into what the true connection is between Ollie's, Bargain Outlet, and Building 19. It's not all those rumors that people are talking about in the comments on social media, but it is a story of friendship. And maybe that's how this Gilly and Linda Morad story ends. Maybe.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.